Today being May the 21st, 2023, we are going to be looking at lesson number 3 today out of the book of Hosea, out of the Old Testament book of Hosea. You say, preacher, where in the world is Hosea? Well, he's right before Joel, and he's right after Daniel, okay? All right. Hosea is the first of the 12 minor prophets that we're going to be studying through this quarter. And today, we've been looking at this series from Hosea, and the lesson is entitled, The Lord's Controversy with Israel. Now, the lesson encompasses chapters 4 all the way through chapter 14. Needless to say, I will not be reading all this morning, but I'm going to try to hit the highlights of the lessons today and still get you out in time to go to the restroom, get you a good seat, and go from there, okay? All right? Amen. We'll see about that. All right. Now, this is not a lottery, okay? All right? Nobody betting on this or anything like that, but I don't want anybody to lose. I don't want anybody to gain, okay? All right? So, but anyway, I want to ask this question. I want to make this statement, especially with Israel. We see Israel as a picture of what mankind's heart is all about. You know, mankind's heart is fickle. One moment, people are loving God. The next people, they're cursing God. God had been so good to Israel, so good to them. He had delivered them out of bondage. Last night, we were watching a thing on YouTube. My wife and I were watching a thing. I got home. It was late. And I thought, well, I'm going to go on here. I'm going to look up some stuff about the Bible. And we found a YouTube video about the Pharaoh of the day of Moses. And they found his tomb. They opened up that tomb. They've got his mummified body laying there. And you're looking at this man all these years old, probably 3,000 years old or so. And this was the man that they said was, and they went back with Bible scripture and proved the time frame of this man. And I can't pronounce his name, Mahometef or something. I can't remember. Anyway. But they were showing that, and I thought to myself, there's that body, the remains of that man that stood against Moses, that stood against the God of Moses, that watched all of his people die and all the plagues that were brought into the world, and his own child died because of his stubborn heart and his hardened heart toward God. And all the army was wiped out with the Red Sea. And all the children of Israel saw these things. And yet, the moment they got out into the wilderness, they started complaining. And you know what? The reason that God sent them through the wilderness was so that they could learn to trust God. And you know what? Sometimes God has to send us through the wilderness. Sometimes He allows us to go through the thorny brush and be dragged through some rough lands so that we can learn to trust Him. And you know what? Those folks, the controversy that God had with them is that they had turned their hearts away from the God that loved them and just had done so much for them. And I thought about the lesson, and I thought about a little statement for our lesson today, and I just wrote it down as this: restoration and revival are only one step away. Now, we can have revival. We've had great services here this week. But the revival is not centered around one man. The revival is centered around our love for the God that loved us and gave Himself for us. And we have to renew that every day, every morning. I was thinking today, I've got to preach again this afternoon at the nursing home, and I was thinking about the songs. And the song that came to my mind, and I was just singing this in the shower this morning. The song is entitled, Jesus Loves Even Me. Amen. Even me He loves. And God wanted His people to know that He loved them, He cared for them, and all they had to do was to turn to Him and trust Him. but they refused to do it. I want you to look at our theme verse this morning from Hosea chapter 4, verse number 9. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 9. The question is asked, who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. I don't know if you've noticed this or not in our world today, but does it seem to you like more and more people in our world are declaring themselves and openly proclaiming themselves to be agnostics or atheists in this world to you? Does it seem like that? I mean, they boast about this nowadays. The world boasts about this. Every time I turn on the news, and it seems like, which is very seldom anymore, I try to watch it, but whenever I do, it just seems to me that folks are more open with their hatred for God and their hatred for Christianity, their open rebellion against God. And anybody that takes a stand for the Bible or morality, then boy, you are automatically public enemy number one. I've seen an article this week. My wife showed me an article this week where, and I don't remember if it was in Baltimore or where it was at, but the school systems now, if the parents do not allow their children to be taught this perversion lifestyle that is being taught in the public schools, then the parents then can be charged with child abuse. Now you think about that just a moment. For protecting their children, that's child abuse. What I would be doing if I had kids in the public school, I believe I'd be taking them out in a heartbeat. I think I'd be down there stepping in and saying, hey, listen, my child is not coming here anymore, no more, and shut the places down. But folks, today it seems like more and more our world is turning against God. And they're open about it. They're brazen about this. And this is the same way that Israel had become with God. In a land that was filled with people that didn't know God, they worshiped other pagan gods and false idols. Now Israel had left the God that brought them out of all the things that he brought them out of, and they had denied that he was the true God, and now they were serving these pagan gods. And you know, I believe that the whole reason, you say, well, preacher, why in the world is all this happening today? One little word, and it's called sin. It's called sin. Listen, our relations today are not skin problems, they are sin problems. It's sin problems. Man's heart is continually evil. Webster's Dictionary, I looked this up this week. Webster's Dictionary defines the word sin, and this was right online. I mean, right here online. Everybody can see it. They define the word sin to mean transgression of the law of God. Transgression of the law of God. An offense against a religious or moral law. An often serious shortcoming, a fault, a vitiated state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God. Boy, that pretty well defines the word sin, does it not? And that was in a dictionary that doesn't claim to be anything but a dictionary. Listen to me today. The Bible teaches us that sin is the transgression of the law. That's James, or 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible tells us that all, not some, but all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness. Now that includes disobeying, that includes stealing, that includes, you know, all this garbage that's going on in our world today. Listen, the little things that we don't think much about, God says, if it transgresses my law, it's sin. And Israel had done exactly that. God's desire for Israel was that they would choose they would choose to be thankful, and they would choose to be appreciative for all that God had done for them. And with that thought in my mind, I want to put a little parenthesis here just a moment. And I want to say thank you for all the texts and the cards and things like that this week for my birthday. I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate you loving me and just remembering me. I did not put it in the bulletin. I didn't want to think about it. I'll just be honest with you. And I make the bulletin, so I can do that, okay? All right? So, but listen, I do appreciate you. The cards and all the calls and texts and little things. So now I'm going to close that parenthesis and get back to the lesson, all right? But I want you to see here that God had the prophet Ezekiel remind the people of something. And I want you to look at this just a moment in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 20. Ezekiel chapter number 20. I want you to look at verse number 5. Ezekiel chapter 20, beginning of verse number 5, the Bible said this, "Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But look at this next statement. But they have rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me." You know what I believe when Ezekiel prophesied that and God spoke to Ezekiel's heart? I believe there were tears in God's eyes. God said, look at all I've done for them. Look at all I have given unto them. And yet they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said I, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish mine anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. The controversy that God had with his people was not the fact that these people did not know who God was. It wasn't the fact that they did not know or had not seen what God had done for them. But it was the fact that they knew God's goodness. They knew God's blessings upon them. They knew what God had done for them. And yet they chose to reject him. They chose to turn away from him. They chose to rebel against him. And folks, it was serious with God then. And let me say this, it's serious with us today. Amen. We've got to let the world know. Listen, you know what? I believe all these things are happening. It's going to be a separator of those who love God and those who simply say they love God. There are people today, there are companies today. I did not know that Target started out in 1902 as a Christian organization. I read about that this week. The man that began Target, he didn't even have the store open on Sundays because he wanted to give people the opportunity that worked for him to go to church on Sunday. And now, if you walk in the Target, and I would advise you not to, if you walk in the Target store, the very first thing you see is this transgender garbage and says, we're here, we exist, we're going to stay. And they're in all the stores like that. Listen to me, folks. That is open rebellion against God. Right. Romans chapter 1 talks about it, how that they knew God, but they refused to accept him as God. They refused to keep him in their knowledge as God. And they turned to all these other things. And folks, what Hosea is preaching here to Israel is what we've got to be preaching to our world today. It's happening today. Our people Our nation, the nations of the world, have turned their noses against God. They've snubbed him. They know his blessings. They know what God has done for us. And yet they reject him. They've turned aside. And they said, we don't want to have anything to do with him. So as we begin the lesson, I want us to look at this today. I want you to see Jehovah God's case against Israel and how it's stated here. The nation's guilt is exposed here in the first 19 verses of chapter 4. Their guilt is exposed. God uses his servant Hosea to stand boldly, to stand just courageously, and to preach this message to the people of God. Now let me say this again. It is not an easy thing for a man to stand against a crowd of people when he knows those crowd of people, that crowd of people hates him and the message he's about to proclaim. And Hosea had to stand not in his own power, but he stood in the power of God to proclaim this message. And any man of God that stands today to preach the word of God must stand in God's power and not his own. Because if he stands in his own power, he's going to fail. He's going to falter. He's going to compromise because of fear. But you know what, folks? Hosea stood and he pronounced the nation's guilt here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 19. He started out this chapter by saying, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel." Therein lies the problem. Nobody wants the word of God. They put it out of the schools. They put it out of government. They put it out of the business world. They don't want it taught anymore. Why? I remember down south, they took down the commandments, the Ten Commandments, in a public school. And we used to have those up in the hallways and stuff when we were there. And they would have them up in the public. And somebody asked him, they said, "Why in the world do you want to take down these commandments? They're there to help the children to learn." And the opposing factor stood up and said openly, "Because if they read those things, then they might do those things, and that offends us." And I thought, doing right offends somebody? Oh, my soul. Here's the problem. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." Why? "Because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Does that sound like America today? It sure does to me. It sounds like America is headed that way by swearing. People on TV can't say a sentence without just cussing and using such foul language. By swearing and by lying, it does no ill will to anybody to lie anymore. There's nothing known in anybody's life like lying. I mean, boy, lying is a bad thing. But people today can lie. They can stand up before you and tell you a lie and not blink an eyeball. They don't have a problem with it. By swearing, by lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. "Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity, And there shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. Now, boy, you think about that just a minute. They shall commit whoredom and they shall not increase. You know why they won't increase? Because they can't reproduce. They got to recruit. They want your children. They want my children. They want our grandchildren. This world today is wicked. And brother, what God was telling Israel, we can take this and apply it to our society today. Look what else he said. Because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills, under the oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. In other words, they like to live in the darkness. But look what he said. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. And come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. You know what a backsliding heifer is? It's a young calf that's been born that is stubborn. You put a rope around its head and you're trying to pull it one way and it's trying to go the other way. That is a backsliding heifer. He said, now the Lord will feed them as a lamb into a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. I want you to notice a couple things here in these verses. Verse number one. What did God expect from his people? You know what God expected? God desired, God longed for his people to take heed to his word. And they refused to do it. Folks, when you get away from the Bible, you're in trouble. This book, let me just say this. This book will either keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. There's only two choices on the shelf. Serving God or serving self. And we are only one step from restoration and revival in our land, or from ruin, as Pastor preaches about it, from ruin. And folks, the children of Israel were the same situation. They had rejected the word of God. God desired for there to be truth and mercy and righteous living in the land. And that was to be the proof of the people's love for God in the wicked land that they lived. And folks, it seems like today not many people care about their testimony for Christ. The world doesn't have a good testimony. Our nation, a lot of our folks here from China, they think that America is a Christian nation. They think that everybody here loves God. Why do they think that? Because they long for what we have and can never have it. And folks, listen to me today. God longed for his people to love him enough that they would take heed to his word. But instead, what did God say he found? He said he found no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Boy, you ask most children today, do you know John 3:16? No, who is he? Seriously. They say, who is that? They don't even realize it's a Bible verse today. Why? Because it's not taught at home. It's not taught in the schools. It's not going to be taught in the workplace for sure. And folks, it's up to you and me today to live for God and let folks know what God's word says. It's a sad condemnation against the chosen people of God in Israel's day. But I want you to go down and I want you to look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. And because they rejected knowledge, look what God said. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. You see, Israel was supposed to be the ones that taught the world about the Messiah. They were supposed to appoint folks to the true and living God. They were to be his priestly people. And they rejected God's plan for their life. You know, in our world today, we're seeing churches today that proclaim to know Christ, and yet they don't preach the gospel of Christ. And this crowd now, you're seeing all the division in the United Methodist Church situation because they've got drag queens standing in the pulpits. I watched the video on it this past week. And a woman, a young college girl standing up there, and the name that she gave unto our holy God, my lips do not even want to say. I can't say it. It made me just shiver with fright when I saw the video. The boldness that she had to declare the name of our living God as she did for her misled friends in that church. And folks, now there's a division in the church. There should have been a division before they ever started this stuff coming in. Somebody should have stood up and said, this is not according to the word of God. But they didn't. And now it's gotten so bad that even those folks that have compromised are saying, whoa, we can't put up with this. And there's a division out of that. Folks, listen. God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And that thou shalt be no priest to me. Why? Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. The psalmist David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And folks, if we don't stay in the book and allow the book to stay in us, our nation, our world is headed for the same controversy as Israel was. Folks, it's a sad situation, and God's heart was broken. But then I want you to look at the nation's judgment that was announced. Look at Hosea chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. Hosea chapter 5, verse 1. Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ear, O house of the kings, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. Notice here that God's judgment fell first upon those who knew better, but they were leading God's people in the wrong direction. The priests, who were supposed to be representing the holy and almighty God, we're now doing the same things that the people were doing. Look at this. The house and the leadership of Israel, who were to lead the people in the ways of God, were now defiling the very name of God. And the house of the king himself, who was set to seek the face of God in all of his governmental rule, he had turned his back upon God. And God speaks to them. Look at verses 2 through 5. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter. Though I have been a rebuker of them all, Hosea said, I've told you that you're doing wrong. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. These folks that stand up in their gay pride parades and say, we're Christians too. God says, I never knew you. I never knew you. God said to these people here, the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. The pride of Israel. You notice that word pride? Everything that brought Satan down, man today is lifting up. Pride. Pride. The pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. Listen, folks, there is no pride in sin. It should make us ashamed. But today, folks are proud of that which brings shame. They had a video the other day of some of these actors getting some awards of some kind. I don't know what they were. I don't know if it was a Grammy or an Oscar or Grandpa, Grandma, whatever it was. They were getting some kind of awards, and they were honestly mocking God.
Yes,
mocking God. And I thought to myself, I cannot believe what I'm seeing that's open, and pride calls them to do that. Then look at the nation's restoration that's foreseen. Even though God was upset with his people, and even though God had to condemn their sin, he wanted them to know, listen, I love you still. I still love you. And I don't have time to read all that God said here about all these things. But God's hatred for sin was clear to see. And his judgment for sin was surely on the way. But God looked beyond all that. And aren't you glad that he did? He looked beyond my faults. And praise God, he saw my needs. Amen. The Bible talks about in the Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Where the author of the book says, keeping your eyes on Jesus, talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, Jesus saw the sin that nailed him to the cross. But he looked beyond that sin, and he saw you and me. And he said, you know what? I'm going to finish this. He could have called 10,000 angels. 12 legions of angels he could have called. But he did it for you, and he did it for me. And God loved Israel, and he wanted them to know. In chapters 6 through 11, we see there Jehovah's case against Israel is expanded. Their guilt, their punishment. And he gives examples. He gives lessons here about it. And I don't have time to go through all these with you today. But he shows them different examples of what they've done. He gives them similes. And a simile is like it's a picture of two unlike things. They're introduced by the word like or the word as, okay? If you read this in the South, they would say, smile, God loves you, okay? Smile, they read very slow, okay? All right, never mind. But this is the word simile, all right? Simile means something totally different. And he said here, like in Hosea chapter 7, verse 4, look at it. He said, they are adulterers as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he had kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In verse 8, he tells them that Ephraim is like a cake not turned. They stick that cake in the oven and they don't turn it over. And guess what happens to it? It burns in the oven. It burns. Look at verse 11. Ephraim is also like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt and then they go to Assyria. In other words, they're playing sides of which side they're going to be on. Boy, that's just like our world today. We don't know what side anybody's on, it seems like, anymore today. But he gives lessons from history. He gives lessons from when they worshiped Baal, and they worshiped at Beth Arbel, and the Exodus, how that God had blessed them and brought them out of all these things, and yet they rejected it all. But then you get down to chapter 11, verses 8 through 11, and we see the Lord's compassion. We see his compassion. God's love for his people are clearly seen in these verses. And he wants them, listen, he says, I know you've done all these things. I know you're doing it now, but I want you to know I love you. And there is coming a day that I'm going to restore you. There's coming a day when you're not going to do these things anymore. He goes down through, he gives the case against Israel with the sins of Jacob. Jacob was a deceptive person. Israel was deceptive. He talked about the coming destruction in chapter 13. And then he talks about his love for them in chapter 14. And here in chapter 14, let me read this to you real quick. He says unto them, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Can you see the love of God for his people? God was telling them that one day in the future, when Messiah comes, they're going to love him. They're going to see who he is. And boy, what a day that's going to be for the nation of Israel. But folks, I want to remind you today, you and I today, we're living in a world that doesn't love God. But we need to stand true to God. Why? Because of what God has done for us. Don't let there be any controversy with God with our lives today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, my time is gone, and Lord, I've still got a lot to teach here, but Lord, in the lesson I've taught, I pray, God, that your people would see just how much you love them. And Lord, that our people today, like God desires for his people, Israel, would turn unto you and turn away from sin and do that which pleases you. Lord, I pray, God, today, if there be anyone that's listening to the sound of my voice, that they would turn unto you today and turn away from their sin and trust you as their own personal Savior. God, I pray now that you'll bless our pastor as he stands to preach. Help us, Lord, with all of our heart to love you and to serve you. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.